Welcome in, everybody. This is Inside the Gamecocks, the show. We are back live from the mountains to the sea in the great state of South Carolina, coast to coast, nationwide, worldwide via the Chief Sports Network app. Kind of a different, softer transition here from myself cutting through the orange fog of the upstate, Phil Mad Dog Mullinax, JC Sherbert with me as always as co-host. Good to be back, JC. Good to see you, man.
It's like Tom Petty says, good to be king.
That's right.
I'm just kidding. We're not really. That's Matt Anderson, the king of late.
Yeah, that's right. He is the king of late.
He is the king. We're just a couple of clowns kicking it around here on Inside the Gamecocks, the show.
Oh, speaking of clowns, though.
I know.
Yeah, right.
All right. So we have two pieces of news. One involves clown and one involves certainly not a clown at all. Our boy, Stuart Lake, it's been officially announced. I know you guys probably talked about it earlier. He is old Kevin Schnall's baseball staff.
Yeah.
And, congratulations to Stuart. I can't think, man, of very many better people than Stuart Lake. I just love listening to him talk about baseball, wrestling, whatever topic is up there. I know the players love him. I know the baseball community in South Carolina loves him. He is the director of program development, the camp coordinator. We'll miss him in the play-by-play booth, obviously. We did when he went on the field this year, but I know his heart and soul is in coaching the game of baseball, Phil.
Yes.
And, man, when people can go chase their dream and get back to doing what they love. I have a friend that was out of the recruiting game for a little while. He had worked in the media part of it and also for college football programs. He recently got back in, and, man, it did my heart good to see him get back in and do what he loves. I don't know what I would do. You know, my time away from all this, even when, you know, it was just the break from the website for 6 months was tough. So I'm glad to see Stuart get back in and be a part of this very large but outstanding baseball coaching staff at the University of South Carolina.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Coach Schnall has put himself together. He's assembling an army. Let's see, much as
JB's called it. I mean,
as we did, right?
Yeah. We're talking about Schnall, he's a program guy. He likes big staffs, but
yeah, but happy for Coach Lake, man. Stu is a great individual person and coach, obviously, or he wouldn't be on the staff. But it's just, hey, we're not going to be able to have our Friday baseball conversations with Stu.
Yeah.
It'd be good to see him back in the dugout, man.
But listen, man, it's like, I tell you, it's like, you know, Stu, we deal with so many good people here,
right?
You know, with our guests and people on. And speaking of good people, I was pretty excited to hear Kloninger is going to be on with us this year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Bonnie on Wednesdays. And all these people are good. But Stu is like, I mean, even if he wasn't one of our guests, you never hear anybody say anything bad about Stuart Lake. He's a tremendous person. So happy for him. The University of Michigan is finally ending the Ward Manual experiment. Thank God. I don't know that there's many Gamecock fans out there after his stint and his explanations for the playoff committee. And look, I'm going to say this. He's in the clown video, right?
Right.
But, you know, the chairman of the committee kind of just gets shoved out there, right? I mean, it's not all him.
It's an unenviable position, for sure.
You know, the way he explained it was god-awful. And then I just lost total. I mean, it was so frustrating, not just for Carolina. It was frustrating for Alabama, frustrating for Ole Miss, all that good stuff that year. But, you know, when he said that Indiana beat the defending national champs and counted that as a win, a big win.
You know? Right.
And I know Michigan beat Alabama in the Outback Bowl. I know that happened. I know.
We get it.
I know that happened.
Yeah.
That's a bowl game. You know, that Michigan team until they got to Ohio State was average as grits. You know, and Indiana beat them by 5. And yeah, but anyway. And of course, I'll continue to maintain Indiana in 2024 was very different than Indiana in 2025 from my standpoint. But anyway, they moved on from him. There's been all kinds of problems up there, man. And then, I mean, I'm sorry, you just won a national championship in basketball, and I understand the NBA and all that good stuff for college basketball coaches. Basketball is in trouble with all this portal stuff, right? And I understand, you know, he's probably nothing you can do about May going to the NBA, right? But you lose your national championship winning basketball coach like that. You know, you had the Sherrone Moore issue. You had all kinds of problems. The Connor Stallions thing, Jim. I mean, you know, he didn't necessarily oversee a non-turbulent time in Michigan athletics. So good for him. He's out.
Right. So, you know, that's right. Yeah, you listen. He's taking
we don't have to worry about run, Ward right? Manuel anymore. Yeah. So that's good. Right there. SEC Media Day is going on down in Tampa. Jack Veltri from GamecockCentral.com is down there covering it for our website. Please consider subscribing to Gamecock Central / The Big Spur. That would be a lot of fun. And all the media, Phil, is going to vote.
Yes.
And so I looked at SEC Mike Bratton's vote. He put it out on X. He's got Tennessee fourth. And we talked a little about Tennessee in the second hour, but man, I don't know what I'm missing there.
You know,
and I feel like I'm missing something. Is it the schedule? Is it their offensive line? I mean, I didn't watch much Tennessee last year because they were kind of one of those teams, man, that just kind of after they lost the Georgia game, which was a great, fantastic football game.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of just beat who they were supposed to and lost. You know, Oklahoma was a close game, but Oklahoma beat them. I mean, they were kind of just like, hey, and then they got the Illinois bowl game, Brett Bielema treatment in Nashville at the Music City Bowl. And the other, they tried to get that quarterback back, Aguilar, and they did the whole lawsuit thing for, I think, an eighth year for him. It didn't work. And that would have been very, that would have been tough had that happened. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
And so, you know, but I know SEC Mike. I know my friend's a Tennessee guy. They're based in Tennessee. My cousin Shane is a huge Vol.
Yeah. Oh,
so
yeah.
Maybe, I'm just like, I paid attention to it because if anything, SEC Mike, Phil, will downgrade Tennessee.
Right. Yeah. It's,
he's very, done well he's to not distance a homer
himself from the homer status.
Yeah. Right? He is not a homer about them. He'll be like, if Tennessee's bad, they'll put him down there. So I'm
looking at it, man. Curious. The only thing I can see is this is a function of schedule.
Yeah.
Because Tennessee's SEC schedule has them facing off against what are considered, let's see, the preseason favorites in Texas, Alabama, A&M, and LSU. Now, here's the other five SEC games that they play. Auburn, Arkansas, Carolina, Kentucky, and Vandy.
That's not bad.
No, that's not bad.
If you got Arkansas, Vandy, I mean, I don't know how good Auburn's going to be. You know, everybody's asking about the blue chip ratio.
Yeah.
Carolina would be eighth. Auburn is – Florida's actually ahead of Carolina, a little bit higher than 50% blue chip ratio-wise. Tennessee is in the 40s, which is amazing because they've been spending NIL money like it's going out of style since 21. Auburn's like 32, dude.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They're down there. And so, you know, I don't know how good Auburn's roster is going to be. They got a lot of kids from South Florida. I think Brown's a good quarterback. I think it's a good scheme. But I think what they're sitting there saying is, all right, so I'm gonna think and put on my cap like, oh my God, your wife just said I look like Kenny Rogers.
Your hair is I mean, volume to the max, resplendent. I feel like you're about to start
warm chicken. Summer's Eve.
That's right.
Train bound for nowhere. But, my mother-in-law loves Kenny Rogers.
Does she? That's
she loves Kenny love Rogers. Boy, she thinks he's handsome.
That's awesome.
I'm about to head over there and pick up some Thai pork toast after we get off here. And,
hey.
She'll probably be like, you're handsome today, Kenny. I mean, that's right. Anyway, so thank you, Dina. Appreciate that. I'm trying to think like SEC Mike here. So here's what I think he's thinking, right? Because Tennessee, under Josh Heupel, has been very, very solid. Phil, they're consistent, you know.
They are, yeah.
That's how they got in the playoff a couple of years ago. They beat the teams they were supposed to beat, and then then had the big win over Bama, you know. And they've been beating Bama. They beat Bama 2 years in a row at Neyland Stadium, and he had Bama ninth behind South Carolina. And so, and he's one of those that's not necessarily buying Alabama this year, because I think it's a fair question. Now, I think if Keelan Russell plays for Bama, that's going to change things up a little bit if he's the starting quarterback. But we don't know if that Bama fixed their offensive line. We don't know if they fixed their run game issues, all that. So here's what I think he's thinking. You got Furman at home to open the season, which I think's a tremendous opener. Furman. We love Furman around here. They go to Bobby Dodd to play Georgia Tech, where they will have more fans in the stands than the Jackets, or at least it'll be 50-50, okay? Kennesaw State comes to Knoxville. So they're looking at 3-0 if they get out of Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech doesn't pull an upset. And then Texas comes to Knoxville. And I think what they're thinking is Texas has struggled in big venues. Like they lost at Florida, right?
Mm-hmm.
Last year. They're not used to going to places like Neyland with 109,000. So they're thinking, all right, upset there. Auburn and Arkansas, upset there. Bama, they beat Bama twice in a row. So that's undefeated going into Carolina. You know, if you're Tennessee, Carolina went 4-8 last year. Now you've lost 6 of 8 at Williams-Brice, but House of Horrors, it probably scares you a bit. We're coming right off Bama. But if you get past Carolina, then you got Kentucky. So you always beat Kentucky. And then the season really comes down to a trip to Kyle Field. And I think last time Tennessee played at Kyle Field, it was like this great football game shootout. I think Aggies won. And then LSU comes for 110,000. And oh, by the way, that's Lane Kiffin. Everybody loves him. And then Vanderbilt, they probably don't think it's going to put up much resistance. So, and that's a revenge game because Vandy won by like 21 last year in Knoxville. So, I mean, I'm looking at it and I see where he's coming from. It's like it's scheduled, but I'm going to throw this out at you. I think that the Will Muschamp factor at Texas should not be discounted. And I'll tell you why. He owns Josh Heupel.
Yeah, that
he's Josh Heupel since he was at Carolina and Josh was at Missouri as the play caller. And so I think that's something that should be taken into account. All right, we got to get a break. I got a little cold. I'm working at now.
Oh yeah.
Let's get our first break in. I mean it's early, so but let's get a thing is.
Yeah.
Somebody said his hair is perfect. Fantastic, right?
Yeah.
Inside the Gamecocks, the show. Don't forget. Four Quarter Friday, fourquarterfriday.com. We've launched that, kind of a soft launch. We're going to have some more stuff on that website later this week. Your home for South Carolina high school sports. Also, the new special on the Big Spur Gamecock Central is join for $1 for 5 days, and then you get it for $5 a month for a whole year.
Hey.
Yeah, so 50% off for a whole year. Go to thebigspur.com, gamecockcentral.com, own 3 rivals. All that happiness. So, we will be back after this as the show rolls on.
Welcome back, everybody, inside the Gamecocks, the show here. Final segment of the show as we kick off our fifth season, JC, man. This is...
We started this in 2022, my friend, 22. Me and you. That was pretty awesome.
That was, man. It's been fun.
It's been quite an expansion.
Right. Yeah, we've come a long way.
It's become quite an event, quite a happening, every day. Right. And thank you to all of you out there that were people were posting and tweeting and things. We missed the show. Where's the show? I need my fix, all that good stuff. And I checked the numbers before we got on. I looked at least on X. And they're pretty much up there. So we have heeded the call and we're back. And I hope you like the new format too. We went 4 hours for a little bit and, I kind of like 3 with all we got going on. Well, and for those wondering, coffee is going to be back and that'll be a thing that, starts tomorrow with Shane Beamer talking. It's Gamecock football. And in the off season, it gets really lean with the talk every, especially this time of year, coaches are on vacation, players are, what am I going to talk about? But tomorrow I'll have something to talk about. So we'll talk about it and then that'll kick it off and I'll have topics and stuff. But that's, for those of you wondering, coffee's not going to, some people really like that. I really like coffee a lot. It's actually a different, kind of a different audience than we have here on the ship.
It is a different vibe, man. Yeah, you can tell.
Mm-hmm. So it's pretty awesome with all of that. So I was talking about SEC Mike earlier in the mind of Mike. And yeah, I think he had Texas, Georgia, Ole Miss, Georgia, Texas, Ole Miss, something like that up there. Ole Miss's roster, like they look a little better than they did last year. So, by the way, programming note, because I just got it from JB. We had a mix up, right? So Kloniger is tomorrow on the morning show.
Yeah. And
Blackjack, is that what they call Jackville? I call him Viral Jack Veltry because he went viral with that.
With the O-line.
The O-line thing. The stupidest thing. One of the dumbest things. There's some really dumb debates on X that people get into. There's some really good ones, by the way. Spring
practice and just excoriate every coach involved in what I've seen.
It was funny because there were like the people. It was like, okay. On the debate, there were the people that coach college football and high school football on one side. The people criticizing the drill on one side.
Right, yeah.
And then on the other side were the people that actually coach college football. And I'm like, listen, I mean, you can. It's cool to criticize coaching. Even if you're a fan or like us, I mean, there's coaches will tell you, when you screw up.
Yeah.
That wasn't smart.
Yeah, plenty of times they're like, well, that was a head-scratching decision.
But, dude, it's like none of us know enough to go, oh, that drill's awful, when everybody else, like LaCharles Bentley, pretty good offensive lineman. Pretty good offensive lineman, right? LaCharles Bentley, mm-hmm. One of the best centers, I think, to ever play the game. When he's like, nah, man, I used to do this all the time. It's great. It's a little old school, but it's awesome, When you got that side, and then the people that are criticizing it, like run these, I can get you ready for the pros kind of things. Right. And they're like not even, that's not even football. It's like, they're camps. There's like Tommy's holiday camp. From yeah, who's Tommy?
I don't know. What's the O-line equivalent of 7-on-7?
To my offensive line camp. Well, yes. So, but Jack did that video. So I call him Viral Jack Veltry. And Viral.
Hey, Viral Veltry.
I like Viral that. Veltry. But anyway, that was something else. I was into the mind of Mike and, Ole Miss and all that A&M. Some people are buying them. It's hard to do this now. Like, it is. Like, I'll tell you, I feel good about the bottom. Right?
Right.
I think Kentucky, yeah. Mississippi State, Arkansas, Vanderbilt. And I'm not trying to be mean to Vanderbilt. Right. A lot of respect for them, that program. I'm just saying, I think Diego Pavia meant a lot to them. I think he not only made plays, but I also think that he kind of made everybody else better. They do have players back. Cedric Alexander's a good running back. I mean, everybody's going to be hyped about Jared Curtis. I don't know that he's a scheme fit for the kill zone. There's just a lot of questions I have about Vandy. So I just don't, I think they take a step back and, in this league, somebody's got to lose. Mm-hmm. Right. Although I'm looking at Vandy's schedule, and if Auburn's not very good, they can start 4-0 before they go to Georgia.
Yeah, that's true.
Because they got Auburn, Arkansas, Kentucky. Who knows? Gamecocks do avoid. They play Mississippi State. Of those four, though, I like Mississippi State to be – I think everybody's better than Arkansas on paper. I like Mississippi State to be better than Vandy and Kentucky at this point. They could end up being up there with, like, an Auburn or a Florida. So that's – everybody's going to be voting for all this, right? And it's hard. It's very, very hard. And I used to kind of give people a hard time because, they're sitting there picking it. They're like, well, we can't have Auburn down here.
No.
They're Auburn. Or we can't have Florida down here. They haven't had a winning season in 5 years.
I'm feeling a lot of that for Florida this year, man. I really am.
Florida, every time they get a new head coach.
Yep, it's like,
championship, right? da, 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 da.
Yeah.
Actually, I like a lot of Florida's players. I really do.
Alex never been the issue down there, JC.
I like John Summerall a lot, so you know, but Harrison in the chat box, man. In the McKellar Enterprise chat. The best off-topic ramble this summer was the discussion on little people spurred by someone in the chat saying Def Jiwa should throw Nitro Tuggle forward on short yardage situations.
But we found out that it's not a legal play.
It's not. Leach had a meeting about it.
That's right. But you know what is legal? Is if Nitro Tuggle grabs on to the back of Nef Jiwa and just lets him run through people.
Exactly.
That's right.
You can do that.
Yeah.
Maybe you put, call it the knapsack play. Or something.
The rucksack.
All right. So SEC media. So I need y'all's help. I'm going to ask you some questions, Mad Dog. So I was talking on the message board on the Insiders Forum on Gamecock Central, and I was like, okay, because they were talking about SEC Mike's picks. And I was like, well, I don't go to SEC media days because I just don't anymore. Just don't do it. But so with the Gamecocks, because everybody knows that's the team we talk about every day. It's the team we cover, team we like. I would say if I were ranking them, picking them, okay, Phil, I would say, all right, who can I not justify putting South Carolina over based on a combination of last year's struggles and roster and all that.
Right.
Okay. And I'm going to mute the screen here for 1 second. I'm going to keep talking. So don't kick me out. Okay.
Yeah, you're good. You're good.
And so looking at it, like who could I justify picking South Carolina over? And before I get into, I'm going to go through the teams. I've listed all 15 other teams in the league. And so what I want is, you know, y'all tell me, would you pick South Carolina over ... and be fair, you know, it's not, will South Carolina beat them? It's if you were picking it right now, would you feel comfortable picking the Gamecocks over team ABC? Okay. Are we clear on the rules? Hey, Chaco's in the chat box too. Missed you guys. We missed you, man. Too. Scott says the golden tones of Mike Morgan and the silver locks of JC Sherbert. It's the ITG Precious Metals crew.
Precious Metals. That's right.
Kenny Rogers talk. All right. So we're going to go through and do that, right? All right. So I'm start. Ready, Phil?
Yes.
So it's just a yes or no.
Yes.
It's like Congress. Yes or no. I'm reclaiming my time.
That's right.
Yeah.
I'm reclaiming my time.
I'm reclaiming my time. They both sides of the aisle do that. Does that trust me? So like, this is like reality TV.
That's right.
It's like an audition.
That's right.
Reclaiming my time.
It's like they're shooting a commercial. Anyway,
I know.
All right, I'm gonna start. Just gonna start. I'm gonna start in the middle. Okay. So, Tennessee, can you justify picking South Carolina over Tennessee?
I think so. Yes.
Yes. And I would agree with you, just my personal opinion. I would pick not based on Tennessee's schedules this or South Carolina. I think Carolina's roster's better in some spots than Tennessee. Could you justify picking South Carolina over Auburn?
Yes.
Yes, me too. I'm with you there. Can you justify picking the Gamecocks over Missouri? It's not based on losing to them.
Take the past out of it. I'm a yes there too.
I'm close, but yeah, I'll go ahead and say that.
I think you can give them the edge. I think the defense is what kind of gives you the edge over Missouri.
Yeah, I think so too. All right. And keep me on the screen.
You're good. Just so long as you keep talking, I'll keep you on.
Yeah, just keep me on. All right. So LSU. No,
I cannot. No, yeah, no.
And that has nothing to do with anything other than Lane Kiffin and the talent they have.
Now, subjectively, I'm a yes. But if I'm looking at it objectively.
Yeah, no, I can't do that. Kentucky, I'm a yes on that. Definitely. Yeah,
that's a yes.
Vandy, yeah, again, whatever happened last year happened. Congratulations. It's your one win over Carolina. And you don't have to play them this year, so I'm a yes there. Mississippi State, I am a yes.
Phil?
Yes.
Arkansas, I'm a definite yes.
Yes.
So, Florida, I'm going to say yes just because, I mean, Carolina's been a little bit – they've lost to Florida, and the swamp has been very difficult for the Gamecocks. And it's difficult for a lot of teams. But, I think Carolina's rosters – I mean, their blue chip ratio is higher, but they've always got talent. I would pick Carolina over Florida.
I would as well. I would as well. Yeah, because it's like you said. I mean, talent.
I can justify it.
Yeah. Talent's not an issue in Gainesville, but there's a big question mark over coaching, even though you have good coaches in place.
Yeah. All right. So I'm going to read Jeff here in the chat box, the McKellar Enterprises chat box. Hats off, by the way, to some of Meredith's students that competed at the Blaze.
Yeah.
South Carolina Junior Golf Association. That's supposed to be some of you in the chat box probably know more about it than I do, but it's supposed to be this snazzy, it's a first class event. And it was in Greenwood this year, and some of her students competed. So if you want to get good at golf, you need to go see her. So Jeff says Tennessee, yes. Auburn, yes. Missouri, no. He's a no. It's a no for him, dog.
I can see that. That's a close one.
Jeff says LSU, no. Kentucky, yes. Vandy, yes. Mississippi State, yes. Florida, yes. Arkansas, yes. For Jeff. So that's Jeff's. All right. So now it gets kind of tricky. Texas, can't justify it. No.
Nah, yeah, no.
No. Georgia, can't justify it. No. No. Ole Miss. If they'd have gotten gutted roster wise, dude, I would pick Carolina over Ole Miss, even though they've owned them, you know, with Lane Kiffin there. But Lane Kiffin's not there anymore. But dude, their roster's too good.
It is a good, solid roster that did not bail after the coaching change, and they got Chambliss back.
Yeah, so that's a no for me, dog.
Yeah, I'm gonna say no.
A&M can't do it. I think Carolina will beat them this year in Columbia, but I can't pick Carolina over A&M, not the SEC. You feel?
I mean, not without seeing something on the field. Like, right. I mean, that's where we are too, is like, we're just kind of like pre-seasoning this. I'm like, nah, Texas A&M, you got to give them the edge over Carolina in a preseason ranking.
Carolina for four straight quarters in that series outscored A&M 54-3. And lost the second game.
I know.
So, you know, I was thinking about this. The first half in Columbia in 24, Carolina got, remember they got up 17-6, and A&M kind of responded. And A&M actually had a 20-17 lead right before the half. Carolina kicked field goal and tied it. So, a tale of two halves indeed, good sir.
Yes.
Good sir.
My good sir. It's a good thing we got him at home this year. Yeah, I think.
Yeah,
I'm glad that game is going to be in Williams-Brice.
Oh yeah, Alabama. No, I just can't pick Carolina over Alabama. Although SEC Mike has them, I have questions about Alabama. That in Alabama's first three games, I think we'll have an idea with them. You know, because East Carolina is not a pushover. We all know that. And then they go to Kentucky, which is, I mean, it's a new coach, first year coach. Yeah. Kentucky's got that week two deal again this year, you know, they had Ole Miss last year.
Yeah, that's right.
They have I think they're the only SEC game in week two, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe not. Harrison. Harrison can look that up for me. He's always good at that. By the way, check out some of Harrison's articles on thebigspur.com.
Yeah, man.
He's doing a really good job for us there. It's Alabama goes up there. There's some history there, man. You know, Bear Bryant coached at Kentucky, remember? Right. He's the winning before Steve Spurrier was the winningest coach at South Carolina. Bear Bryant was the winningest coach at Alabama and Kentucky. Mark Stoops passed him. But yeah, Harrison says they host Alabama week two in Lexington. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. But But yeah, they're the only SEC game that week. And then Florida State comes to town. That's a revenge game. Now, none of those teams are world beaters, but it's not Kent and Towson.
No.
Or Florida's got Campbell and Florida Atlantic. Mm. Although Florida Atlantic sometimes, you know, jump up and bite you.
Yeah, that's
exactly
true.
But
Lane's not walking through that door either.
No, neither is Kendall Browse.
No.
So I think we're going to know a little bit about Alabama going into it, maybe more than we know about Carolina.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a no on Alabama for what we're talking about here, even though, kind of like you with A&M, I think Carolina is going to come out of that and win that game.
Yeah, yeah. I think Russell scares really me, and DeBoer in big games at night at home, he's pretty good. And, you know, even at Washington, man, they'd run up. Let's say Carolina's really good on offense, and they're going up and down the field. And, you know, I mean, just like they did at Georgia last year. He's good at big games. So it's almost like, you know, the bigger the game, and it's a night game in Tuscaloosa, it's going to be a big game, you know, the better they do.
Yeah.
You know, of course, the Rose Bowl's the granddaddy of them all. They got their teeth kicked in that one. But, you know, Krieger says, can Bama run the ball? I don't know.
Yeah. No, yeah. Good question, Krieger. Yeah.
You know. But, yes, I can't justify putting Carolina ahead of Alabama. Oklahoma's a no for me dog, too, on that one.
Yeah.
So, all right, so how many no's? So there's 7 no's and then 8 yeses. So Carolina, 8.
8, yeah.
8, if I'm being rosy about it. Now, that's without comparing schedules and difficulty and all that, so – getting back to the McKellar Enterprises chat box. We've missed you chat boxers since we've been gone. Since you've been gone.
Big slam of jam. I just went back and watched some of episode 1. A lot has changed. Yeah, brother.
Oh my God. Yeah. Way, Big slam of jam has been listening since it was the solo podcast days.
Yeah, man. Yeah, a lot of y'all have. It's like,
yeah. So we appreciate all that. Lance says, from my view and things I have seen in the players that have assembled, on O-line, group's going to be tough as heck. They may not be the best, but they're going to give Lenoris a chance every play. I think the offensive line, eyeball test wise, because like last year's offensive line, you looked at it, it was massive. You thought, wow, it's a good looking group. This year's group's not going to, I mean, dude, Carter Miller's 6'1" and a half.
Right.
he's not, he ain't a big 6'4" center. And, you know, Jacarius Peak even is like a 6'4" tackle. He's not your big 6'7". Josiah Thompson looking tackler tree, but I think they will be better, Lance, and I think they will be tougher. I'm not going to get too far ahead of myself because every time it doesn't matter who's coaching, who's playing, if there's new players, if there's old players, if there's young players, it's a losing proposition to talk good about the offensive line in the preseason around here because you're going to struggle at that position naturally in the SEC. Naturally.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, so, this is a tough league to do anything in because you've got the best D-line on the other side, hands down.
And so you're going to struggle. And so anytime you talk about it, you know, see, told you.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Look, they're bad.
And it's a tough, like I said in a previous show, it is so difficult. Right, to play that position, especially nowadays where everything's viral and, you know, everybody loves to have their moment in the spotlight. Nobody ever says anything about you.
No.
Like, okay, so like I said, you know, like we remember that A&M game we were talking about from 2 years ago where Rocket Sanders went wild and ran wild in the second half. Well, who was blocking for him? You talk to 10 Gamecock fans, and all they can talk about from that game with the offensive line is, or for Lenoris Sellers having to do Houdini, you know, because Lenoris did have some Houdini. That's one of the best defensive lines in the country. And Carolina actually lined up and blocked them. I don't know what it is about A&M and the offensive line at Carolina. The first half out there, last year the offensive line played their best.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know what it is, but they they love to play against them. But see, nobody talked about that, about the O-line after that game. It was all about Rocket Sanders and Lenore Sellers, right, and the defense.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're even if you're doing well, they're not going to talk about you. But if you screw up, even if it's just the natural progression of playing in the SEC, you get raked over the coals. So you just better go love football. And then you get hit every play. The rules are designed to help the defense. I mean, it's a tough gig,
mm-hmm.
is it not?
Yeah.
So it's a losing proposition to talk about them. But I to say they're going to be good because it's just they're going to struggle. I do think that look, if you're comparing it to last year's offensive line, then the good news is you got new players and new coaches. So I mean it may not be good. It may be a bad offensive line, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it won't be the same because the people are different. You know, so it's a different cast of characters. But Lance says the group has the we are not going to lose mentality or not going to be the reason we lose. I like the mindset, and I like the way they recruited that mindset. So Craig says he takes responsibility for the loss to Vandy. He ran his mouth and said we own Vandy, and our teeth kicked in. Yeah, I wonder what would have happened had Lenoris not gotten hurt because yeah, they were playing pretty well.
That's the big
– you turn it over four times. And then Carolina's defense was going to – that's when you kind of knew, like, okay, this defense plays hard. And they kept Carolina just about every game. Hard to find a complaint, but they just weren't quite as good, you know. That's when the linebackers started to kind of go, got a little confused there, you know. Vandy's hard to stop. Now, Vandy does a lot of things. And so, yeah, that was as down as I've been after a game. I mean, I had a friend pass away that same day. Mm. But I couldn't believe it was like that. And you know, hey, oh, well, that's when you kind of do it. So Lance says he's ready to let the team dictate his personality every week till Christmas. Yeah. Who do you guys, how long does it usually take you guys? I mean, to kind of get through it. Because we have to come on and talk on Monday, and we kind of rehash it.
Yeah.
By Tuesday, when Beamer talks, it's like, you know, you're kind of on to the next thing. But yeah, I think Wednesday is usually when the vibe gets better on the message board, like and kind of what I've noticed with my friends and people like that. And by Thursday, Carolina's winning, you know.
Yeah,
we're back. The number one team in the country.
That's right. We're not losing another game.
You know, the one week I didn't feel that was the 2022 Tennessee game. Even on our show, dude.
It was bleak, man. It was bleak.
I don't think there was a score prediction. I think JB had the predicted like 49-21.
Yeah. Yeah. The lowest
score were like 56-10, 53-13. I mean, dude. It was just the
unstoppable Heupel Hooker offense, right? Like it just
it was
crazy. And then all of a sudden, an inspired performance and a sandy field.
Couldn't even believe that, man. I sat here and you know, I it was weird because like so SEC Nation was in town. They were on the horseshoe.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously it wasn't a very big crowd there for that one. Because it kind of felt like you were just going to an execution, you know. But Beamer came up there, and to his credit, Shane kind of was super positive, right? And somebody during the week had told me, because that was after that Florida disaster down there, hey, we're fixing this. Mm-hmm. You know, they said, we're doing what we need to do to fix this.
Right.
And apparently they did. So there you go.
It was enough. I mean, you know, it vaulted you into – postseason play. Yeah,
to beat Clemson, gave him the confidence to beat Clemson the next week. And
yep,
that the Gator Bowl against Notre Dame was one of the best bowl games that whole offseason.
Mm-hmm. You know?
And that helped the program. Carolina lost, but that helped the program tremendously. You know what game that reminded me of a little bit that Notre, I was thinking about this when I was writing the other day, that Notre Dame game, that was a lot like, except Carolina lost, but that was a lot like that Georgia game in 2011. In 2011, Carolina had a fake punt score with Melvin Ingram, and they had two defensive touchdowns in that game. And same one, you know, they had a fake field goal for a touchdown against Notre Dame and two defensive touchdowns, but lost 45-38 instead of 45-42. Obviously, Carolina didn't have Marcus Lattimore and Alshon Jeffrey that day, or Stephon Gilmore. But, you know, so there's that. But I do think that, you know, I do think that bowl was great. So, yeah, so it kind of got fixed. But that's the only week, I think, lately where – now, this past year, things got a little sour, you know, going out to Ole Miss and all. But, see, last year's team was in every game.
Yep.
This was so frustrating about it. You're like, gosh, they just had a little bit of offense. They could have done it. That Alabama loss was brutal. So anyway, so that's kind of here and there. So y'all tell me what you think. How long does it take you to get through everything? Harrison said one great previous episode of the show as we reminisce. Half the show forgot to start recording or something like that.
Oh gosh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah, I remember that.
Gregor says there's been some hilarious shows.
Yeah, there we've had some. It's been a ride. Yeah. I did that again, incidentally. Like I started playing the intro video one day. This was, gosh, right before we went to break this past season, and forgot to click start the stream. I fortunately caught it before the intro itself came on. It was like, oh, wow. Okay. Oh, wow. That could have been real bad.
Yeah. That, some things happen, you know, but it's all right.
Yeah.
It's all good. We're glad. I like the new format. By the way, you can catch this episode on podcast, our podcast channel on Apple Podcast and Spotify. But yeah, there have been some hilarious shows. Big Slam and Jamma misses some of the old ads. Yeah, dude. Remember the Coach O Nana's Porch ad? That's right. I'd like to eat pimento cheese straight off the bucket. When I eat my pimento cheese, well, that's Nana's fair. Porch. When I'm not celebrating endless lives. Summer. endless summer in Destin, Florida. That was good. I think we had a Taken one. Like, from some software engineering company. Gosh,
the horror. I forgot about the horror.
Oh, the horror.
That was such a good spot.
The Disney thing. The horror. So, yeah, that was pretty good. Cockweed chimes in. Good to see you, Cockweed. Thanks for all your posts on the Insiders Forum on GamecockCentral.com and the Big Spur. Can't decide what's dumber, the Nike Garnet discourse. I might have to bow my butt out of that one because I'm colorblind.
I haven't dipped a toe in because I haven't seen a physical version of it yet. So I'm like, getting into this.
It should be a bright, bright, sunshiny day on September 5th. And if they're red like they were in the Holtz era, you'll see it.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's really red. So we'll see. But he said, can't decide what's dumber, the Nike Garnet discourse or the why isn't Dylan going to SEC Media Days discourse. Tell me you haven't watched a Dylan Stewart media availability without telling me. Well, man, the other thing is too, Dylan, I mean, he's still rehabbing and stuff, man. I mean, you know, I don't think Dylan wanted to, I don't think Dylan cares a flip about going.
Yeah, probably
not. What bothers me about that, and this does bother me, and you can't blame, all right, so you can't, and I don't know, some of the people that say this about Dylan Stewart also are like extreme Shane Beamer haters. And what they're trying to do, in my opinion, is pin it on Beamer. This is what Beamer's players do, you know, because they hate Shane and they want him fired and they don't understand that, you know, we just talked about Arkansas being 16th in the league. Well, isn't that nice that Arkansas, how would you like to be Arkansas?
Yeah.
Right now, for those that thought that there was some magically delicious Lucky Charms toting coach that would come in here and win right away. which is what everybody wants to. You got to win this year. It's about the now, right? Mm-hmm. And like I said, though, I could, you know, like when I was talking about that subject last year, I was like, to want a coaching change now, you got to say, it's not getting any better. Mm-hmm. We're going to blow it all up. Coaches, players be damned. It can't be fixed. That's what you got to be saying. So anyway, but they're Beamer haters. And so they're mad about Juice Wells. And they because Juice sort of burnt them. People do need to realize, though, Juice was out for at least half the season regardless. Yep. Right?
Mm-hmm. Juice, yeah, legitimately, right? Yeah, I mean, there was an injury that started this whole process, right? A real one.
Juice played in the first game against North Carolina, limited. Did he play against Furman? I don't remember playing him. But then Georgia, that one drive, and then he's out.
Yep.
So he was legitimately out for 6 weeks. Now, could he have come back down the stretch, played against Clemson? Yes, I believe. I believe that based on what I've been told, you know, but did not go back in. So, and there was a lot to that situation. We haven't even started the season yet. Dylan's missed zero games, you know. He sat for Coastal last year because Carolina, they lost to Coastal. Katie barred the door anyway, you know. they beat Coastal just fine with Dylan not there. The kid came back with a bad back, right? And then those of you that have back pains. And the Clemson game, Phil, meant zero to anything other than the pride of the University of South Carolina.
Right.
Right. That's all that mattered in that Clemson game. And the kid came out there and pushed through it.
Yeah.
His buddy, or not his buddy, his coach, Sterling Lucas, one of the whole reasons he was at Carolina, right? You know what I'm saying? I thought he was out because everybody was like, oh, Dylan's fine as long as Sterling Lucas is still there. He goes to LSU. You know LSU wanted him.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody wanted him. And he stays because he loves the University of South Carolina. You know, I'm not saying Juice Wells didn't. I think Juice Wells things just kind of got sideways. But you can't sit there and talk about. I mean, if Dylan had taken himself out of games last year and he wasn't really hurt, or if Dylan had sat out, or if Dylan had just not played against Clemson, oh, my back hurts.
Yeah,
but there's nothing about Dylan Stewart and who he is. And how he's working to get back that says, I'm just a prima donna, I'm going to sit out. Nothing says that. Nothing says that. So, but yeah, so people want to pin that on Shane and say, oh, see, Beamer's keeping him from going and he's hurt. Blah, blah. I'm going to say this. He won't play against Kent or Towson if he's not 100%, especially. And really with a back, he may not play. I think Jacarius Peake can play in those two games because you need continuity on the offensive line.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, that is kind of a weird discussion. Is it fair to talk about Dylan may not be back and his concern about his health and his back? Absolutely, it's fair. But the conspiracy theories that cut to the heart of the character of the kid, you know, you can't blame him for some stuff Juice Wells pulled. Or Marshawn Lloyd, or some of those guys that left. You just can't blame him.
No.
Mm-hmm. Can't blame him. So, you know.
If he was looking for a payday, he'd have taken it. Like, because it was there.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
So, Ghost Flame said the A&M game took the wind out of his sail. Big Slam of Gemma let it go 30 minutes after the game. Wow. That loss to A&M was... I tell you what, man, it was awful, but I never felt good about that one.
No.
I never did. I mean, I kind of allowed when Carolina got down to like the 32 in the second half, because it was 30-10. You score a field goal or a touch, whatever, however you put points on the board there, it makes it really hard for A&M. Mm-hmm. So I did look up and see Phil win the Birmingham Bowl.
Oh gosh.
So I actually think Carolina would have gone to Liberty Bowl had they made a bowl game. But I mean, I did look that up, and it was, and then the next thing you know, A&M stops them and scores, and That was that.
I mean, you got to think that there's momentum there, right, at the end of the season to get into a not a bottom tier bowl game.
Yeah. That LSU game in 24 was like, I felt empty. I felt like something bad had just happened.
Yeah.
And Carolina did blow a lead in that one, but, you know. But that one was just, they got robbed.
It was a robbery, even though it wasn't the best performance, even at the, you know, because both things can be true.
Our man, Bruin Nation, biggest South Florence fan. Let's just say Saturday nights and Sundays around the Bruin home isn't very good after losses. Same thing. Oh, yeah. Ryan says another hilarious episode was the misspelled Gamecock hockey jersey JC had.
I mean, I almost re-released that over the break, but we had talked about it going into the break. But the hockey jersey is classic. Classic ITG.
Quantrell says a lot of people are annoyed with Nike emphasizing the vintage logo on merch. It doesn't bother me. I get it. I don't know what people expected.
What's the vintage logo?
I think it's the rooster, the old cocky, the old cock. I like
that. Yeah.
I like it too.
I don't hate that.
PD Null says he thinks Dylan will be back week three against Mississippi State. I think so too. I think it's trending that way. If he's 100% ready to go, I mean, he could play first couple of weeks. I mean, but
I would only want to see him. I don't care how good he feels or how healthy he actually is. Yeah. I don't want to see Dylan Stewart in any more than a limited capacity in those first two games.
I think Julian Walker, Anthony Addison, George Wilson, if he's back, Caleb Herring, I think those guys can do some damage against Towson and Kent. I'm not trying to disrespect them, you know, at all, but I'm just saying. No, Dylan didn't play against Coastal last year either.
No.
Cameron says he thinks Peak will be back week three as well. I think so. I think him, if he's 100%, I think they'll play him against Towson or Kent because of continuity. Right? You know what I'm saying? With the offensive line, it's five playing as one. So there's that.
Craig Even then, you want to get ahead early and pull him out. Yeah. Either way.
Big slam of Genesis, super cut of all the ITG hits. So, anyway. And we're through another show, Phil.
Yeah, we did it.
Look, we got that. Back season five, episode one, uno of season five in the books. So, tomorrow on the where is this? Oh, it's Bradford. Okay, so Jack is not on tomorrow. Viral Jack Veltri, Black Jack, as Mike Morgan calls him. He is Wednesday, David Cloninger. Tomorrow at 11:30, Preston Thorne at 10:20 on the morning show. Phil and I will be back on the show. Are VHS dates coming back this season? Yeah, as soon as we get some new ones.
Yeah, as soon as there's one to pass along.
Yeah. Oh, there is? Yeah. We have
a new one. Yeah.
I think their budget ran out, man.
May hold that for Friday when Matt's on.
Yeah,
Matt. I think Matt's on Friday this week.
Matt Anderson, yeah. So,
working a couple of things on our end to get some of our friends back on the show.
Absolutely. All right, so for Phil, Mad Dog, Mullinax, and JC Sherbert, this has been Inside the Gamecocks Show. Holla at you soon.